Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I'm going to share something the Lord spoke to me that we could possibly say that could be a foundation. And then the Lord gave me a scripture to go along with it back there just a few minutes ago. But this is something I want you to think about, something I have to think about and I have to consider. I'll try to express it the way he put it to me. I tried to put it down right, but he said, you don't know who you are. And then he went on to say, because you don't know who they are. And you know, I've done a lot of teaching over the years. You know, the Bible teaches that they're sick and afflicted among you because they don't know how to discern the body of the Lord. So because of the lack of discerning who the body of the Lord is, it brings complications, sicknesses, diseases, shortens the number of days, and many complications. See, many people think they know who they are, and they'll be glad to share with you and testify of who they are. Some think that they're very great men of God. Some think that they're very great in the kingdom of God. Some think that they are achieved through an intellectual capacity. But so oftentimes, you know, we can get puffed up in ourselves, thinking too highly of ourselves. And there's the formula for that is always the same. It's collapse, it's fall, it's crash. Hiding comes before a crash, before a fall. Pride. These are all destroyers. It destroys ministries. It destroys man. If we could learn to see the things of God, it doesn't matter what we have that would puff us up, we would find that it was very small. I heard Brother Pike make a statement. I've said similar things, and I'm not sure, you know, a lot of times we'll use his name and then we have the lack of ability to express maybe as well as he did. But he was speaking in the way that he said, you know, the closer enough that I get to the Lord and the more understanding I get, you've heard me say things like, the closer you get, the farther away you feel. And that doesn't make sense to a natural mind. The more understanding he was expressing that he gets, the least of understanding he feels like he has. Because you get so close to the light as it illuminates and brings forth the darkness of your own thoughts, the darkness of your own mind, the darkness of your own ability, your own skill, the carnality of your own thoughts, the carnality of your own expressions. Now, I know that we want to esteem ourselves to be Christians and spiritual. You know, we know the carnal mind is enmity with God and the carnal mind is death. And none of us would ever stand before and say, oh, I'm carnal minded. Because you're confessing death. You're confessing no life. So yes, we want a positive confession, brothers and sisters, of the mind of Christ and being in this mind and being a Christian. We don't want that kind of a confession. I appreciate that. But also we have to, at the very same time, we got to understand what we're building a foundation on. Are we building our foundation on the mind of Christ and the mind of revelation, the Spirit of God? Or are we building a foundation on the intellect, things that we have comprehended and stored up and made for a foundation? That's a foundation that will crumble. It's not a strong foundation. Even though that's the foundation that puts rockets in space. It's a foundation that could take a scalpel and rend the veil of the flesh of a man and go in and possibly even put in a new heart. So it's very powerful, yes. But when you compare it to God and the mind of God, then it goes beyond. I'm going to say this again. He says, you don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. Now, if a man thinks that he's a son of God, a man thinks that he's born again, a man thinks that he has attained this through some sort of an understanding, but then yet he cannot see the Son of God within the member of his church or the body or his family or see God within his fellow man, but he has nothing. When you come to a revelation of who you are in Christ, you're going to come to the revelation of who they are in Christ. We are living in such a competitive world that everybody's always in competition to be better and to be greater. Yes, we're taught to press our way into the kingdom. We're taught to push for that perfect man, Christ Jesus, to press for this, you know, to exercise faith. Yes, we're commanded to do those things. But brethren, there are so many things that lay in the word of how we perceive and see others is what we are. And we walk with a critical spirits, critical mind, overconfident thoughts. We walk with such judgmental kind of a mind. You've been taught in this church that, you know, that we judge all things because we're spiritual. And judgment begins in the house of God. But then yet the Bible also very clearly teaches us in the manner that you judge, you're guilty of those things. And so oftentimes we'll look at a man and say, oh man, he's self-righteous. Oh, he just thinks he's better than everybody. It's because you think you're better than everybody. When you think that somebody's thinking this way, it's what you're thinking and God's trying to help you. We got to take it line upon line, precept upon precept. Now the thing is if it's a judgment through the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ, comparing the light to eradicate the darkness, it's going to be done through compassion, mercy, and love. And to what measure that individual's at. Do you realize that there's different measures? Some 30, some 60, some 100. You have to realize, and you know, this is a problem with humanity. I could say with the church, or I could say with people professing Christianity. But they come to some kind of a revelation or some kind of an understanding. And yes, they're accountable to it. Much given, much required. And you're required. But then yet you make everybody else required of the same thing. Because you've come to this understanding by the mercy, by the grace of God. You've come to some revelation by the mercies and the grace of God, Him being long-suffering with you. And maybe you've been serving God for 20 years. And all of a sudden you got this. But then how come you make everybody accountable to your revelation? Everybody's accountable to your understanding. Where is your compassion? Where is your mercy? Where is your long-suffering? Where is your willing to help someone? Sometimes, you see, we got to differentiate between the attributes of a man and the attributes of a God, of Christ. You got to differentiate between these two attributes because the attributes of man makes him feel big when he's more powerful. You realize in the beast world, we talked about this the other day, but when a male beast and whatever, we're talking if it's a herd of a flock or whatever, when it takes masculinity over another male and even kills it or tromps it, man, it walks away and stomps away because it took dominion. It showed power. It showed authority, you know, and it's going to run the herd now. That's beast realm. And see, when you differentiate between the beast realm, there's people that have iniquities in their heart and things because it draws strength from the beast mind. You know, it's like, boy, I showed them. There's some people, boy, when they express their masculinity, you know, I'll slap you in the face. I'll knock you out. I'll knock your teeth out. Don't you mess with me. I'll take a board upside your head. And now we've got a bunch of morons running around with guns. But speaking, brethren, of the beast mind of competition. And you know, in the educational system, they put the kids into competing. I believe in competing. I believe in a way to give somebody to say, hey, you know what, I could go to a greater measure. That maybe somebody could provoke you in the work of God because of their endeavors and their sacrifices in the kingdom of God and in the ministry. It should do somewhat of provoke you and say, you know what, this is a testimony, this is a witness, I can do all things in Christ. My fellow brother's done that. God's no respecter of person, and what he's done for this brother, he could do for me. And yes, that could be proper. But then yet, on the other hand, we look at the beast side of things. And again, it gives man a strength to feel like he's, you know, done something. And I find demon spirits being strengthened in men when they exercise certain attributes. I shared a story with you of one of our brethren was in our church and his son, and they was on a job together and somebody done something wrong, and the son goes over there and see in the face of some guy in the car, boy, and telling him, you know, this and that, and I watched the dad's spirit. But the father was sitting there thinking, boy, chip off the old block, boy, just like his dad, he ain't gonna take nothing off nobody. And the father was sense of proud. But if the father could unveil and see that this was the very demon spirit that would put his son in eternal damnation to burn in hell forever, the father would have dropped his head and said, oh my God, I've created a monster. I watch parents train their children to be demons and devils. And they do it with a smile on their face, but they don't realize that if the child doesn't conquer that spirit, that it'll put them in hell. We're speaking here about spirits, yes, and we're speaking about the way we discern, the way we look, the way we judge, and what we see, how we see it. I'll say it again, you don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. Can you know that you're a son of God and then yet look at your fellow brother and think that you're better and greater than him? There's no humility in that. Christ came and washed their feet. Christ came and said, I'm not here for you to minister to me, but I'm here to minister to you. And you think, oh, he wasn't going to let you preach at him. He was saying, no, he was saying that he was going to drop down and wash your feet. You wasn't going to wash his. He said that, hey, I'm going to come and make your life better. He came to give. He came to be an example. Humility is probably one of the most powerful attributes in Christianity. But then yet, because of your masculine, carnal mind, you take arrogance and things to be power. And as I watch this father sit there and go, boy, chip off the old block, and the kid walks away like, boy, I showed them. See, that's exercising demonic power of flesh, demons, and demon spirits. But then yet, this is what makes our world go around. This is what makes people better in this world. This is what makes people get to the top. Do you realize that there's some that would make it to what would appear to be a top, and they didn't have to do it by walking on the dead bodies to get there that the others mortified or killed on their way to the top? Let me read a scripture to somewhat help possibly in this little word that the Lord gave me. It says, verse 20 of John chapter 13. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Now you see that there is a formula here. The Bible teaches us, if I can't forgive you, he can't forgive me. Now there's a formula that's within my grip, within my range. I've made statements from the sacred desk, the carnal mind has the power to bind God. And people, that draws people up. Now the carnal mind can't bind God from blessing me. The carnal mind can't bind God from moving at his will. But the carnal mind can bind him from blessing them. The carnal mind says, I'm not going to forgive my brother. And when you can't forgive your brother, you, through your carnality, have bound God from forgiving you. You know, I teach and try to help people understand, and there's line upon line. I teach things like this. I say that if I loan you money and I go to you and say, brother, the wicked borroweth and don't pay back when you owe me, I've used the scriptures error and wrongly. I have wronged and misused the word of God. Because the scripture that I should be applying should be that I should not have lended to you with an expectation of you to return. If you owe me money and you come to me and say, well, brother Rob, you shouldn't have lent with expectation of return, then you're again using the word of God wrongly. You should say, brother Rob, I'm sorry I haven't paid you back yet. And I know the Bible says the wicked borrow and don't pay back. And I don't want to be numbered with the wicked. Pray for me. And I'm going to do everything in my ability to get this thing and take care of this debt. But you see, people take the word talking about forgiveness. You know, when people wrong somebody, then they go and hold the word them. Well, you have to forgive me. That's nothing but a devil. When a man does that, it's nothing but a devil, because you don't judge that other one because of your offense and say that they've got to forgive you. You're full of nothing more than giving place to the demonic thoughts. You need to be long-suffering and merciful to them and pray for them that you wrong them, that they can find the mercy of God and that you can. But so oftentimes we apply things wrongly. I listen to people and I listen to the expressions out of their mouths. I listen to things that's coming forth from their hearts. And they always take the word to their advantage. When you read the Bible for your advantage, you are in error. You read the Bible to advantage others. Then God prospers you. If you're trying to give all your finances away, God's going to start giving finances to you. That's his way. You start trying to give your life away, then he starts giving you life. He said you try to save your own life, you'll lose it. But if you give your life, he said that'll save it. You see, God's ways aren't your ways. And you got to learn that there's certain things that move the kingdom, move the spirit world. Brother Chuck, we were fellowshipping going to town the other day, and he was talking about some of the blessings that Brother Pike had around him. He said he wasn't seeking after those things. They came to him. But there's others that have those same things, but they sought after them. You see, the sought after blessings, the sought after wealth, the sought after finances judge you on the day of judgment. Do you realize that? I got scriptures for it. It judges you. Your wealth that you seek after judges you on the day of judgment. But the thing is when you're seeking after prosperity and wealth of somebody else, and it's added to you, that wealth testifies of God and his glory. And see, people don't know how to differentiate things, and they look at certain things for an uncertain sound. Do you understand what an uncertain sound is? There's some went to battle because of an uncertain sound. There's things that could happen to one, and it brings forth an uncertain sound. You understand? You see, the Bible says, on the day of adversity, one to consider their ways. If there was ever a man that ever walked in shoe leather on this earth that had adversity all around him, it was Jesus Christ. Everywhere he went, somebody was going to take up a stone or kill him, or they're speaking all matter continually. Did he need to consider his ways? Now you might say, well, the Son of Man had to. Sure he did. Learned obedience even through the things he suffered. So the word's applicable. But then yet, on the other hand, why was the adversity and why were those things there? Because they hated him first, and they will hate you also. See, there's times that people will take and through the uncertain sound of things, and they're actually going through things and lacking things, or people may be coming against them because of their own testimonies, because of their actions, because of their wrongful deeds. And then they'll go back and say, well, you know, it's just because I'm a Christian. And it's not because they're a Christian, it's because they're ignorant. I know I speak kind of hard sometimes, I'm sorry. But people do ignorant things when it brings forth some sort of a complication in their life because of their foolishness. And then we'll say, well, they're just doing that because I'm a Christian. You know, people use the word so wrongly so oftentimes. Let me read another scripture to you. Over to Luke chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading there at the first verse. It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Sometimes we find ourselves in a wilderness, and it was the will of God. Sometimes God leads you into places that look for you to be even hurt or abused or suffer or whatever, but it's the leading of the Lord. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason to exercise dominion over the carnal mind. There's a reason to exercise dominion over the natural world, natural thought, natural man. There's a reason, brothers and sisters. You see, we take authority in the Spirit over the natural man, talking about us. We don't use the Spirit to be advantageous to us over the other brother or the other natural man. We go to the enemy and love them and help them and do good to them that despitefully use us. And when we start taking this supernatural, what we say, the power of God to make us be authoritative over the carnal people or over the natural people, then we again have used the word misleadingly and wrongly. But then yet, when you submit to Him and follow after Him, He makes the enemies come lie down and be at peace with you. You see, God's ways the way they work, brethren. But we have trouble supplying them because we see the other way that works also. Let's read on here for a minute. Now, I'm going to show you this is where the Lord Jesus was led away into a wilderness to be tempted, right? We're going to apply ourselves in this, but let's read on here just for a moment. I'll start again. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, are you full of the Holy Ghost? Returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, we're seeing the devil here taking this Son of Man that had fasted for 40 days. So now he's using the things against him. Hey, you're going to be hungry if you fast 40 days. Verse 5, and says, and the devil, taking him up into high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, we can talk about the power of Satan here. You know, and there's something in you. It's like, oh, you know, man, I'm a son of God, you know, and man, he has no power. Let me tell you, Satan has a lot of power. He's the prince of the air. He's the god of this world, the prince and the power of this realm, this world. He's very powerful. How can you say he has no power when he's got the government of the United States, the education system, the medical system of the United States of America, one of the most powerful countries in the world, but then yet he's completely got it under control, and he's most likely running your home too, and you're going to tell me you don't have no power? Well, be careful, Brother Rob. You don't want to give him, you know, all power by no means at all. He's got all power, brother, but we got power and authority over him only in Christ, not in your intellect, not in your mind, not in your education, not in your scripture retention. You don't have it. So you got to find out where the power is. And we found this out by at the beginning of the verse, it said, the first verse there that I read, it said, being full of the Holy Ghost. There's your power. Being full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's why when he told them to tarry there in Jerusalem until they were endued with power, what were they filled with? The Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Ghost. That's the power, brothers and sisters. And we take and we try everything else. But we need to be filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Let me read on here. It's in verse 5. It says, and the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me. How many times has Satan come to you the same way? You say, well, I don't ever saw exactly like that. Well, you know, he says, come get educated. I want you to go to college. I want you to get an education. I want you to get this mind and I'll give you the whole world. It'll make you a little bit better than the rest of them. And he's just taking you up on that high, exceeding high place. Boy, you're against education, aren't you, Brother Rob? No, I'm against the mind of the devil. The mind of Christ will educate you. The mind of Christ might even send you to a public facility to further education, but you're following the leading of the Lord, not the leading of the lust of man or the pride of life or to make yourself better than somebody else. Go to verse 8. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. This is something that every child of God is going to come to. There's going to be a presentation made to you to lean to your own intellect, to lean to your own understanding, to lean to your own mind, to lean to your own thoughts, to lean to your own skills and abilities, to trust in your own fame or your own wealth, your own riches, your own business, or whatever it is. And you trust in that instead of yielding to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the victory right there. Now the thing is so oftentimes, as this thing was set before the Lord Jesus, he was saying, Hey, this is all yours. I'm going to give you all of this. How many times does the lust of what you see, how many times of the lust of the things that Satan has taken you up in your lofty mind and showed you these things that you've yielded to it and submitted to it? But then yet they never work out because he's the father of all lies. How many times have we sought after these things and they crumble because we lack the submission to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know how much power there is into surrendering? How much power there is into submission? I know in your mind it doesn't work that way, but in God's mind it works that way. When you esteem your enemy better than you, then God raises you up and makes you greater than a conqueror. When you surrender and give your all, then he gives you everything. See, it's the way of the mind of the Lord. Let's go to the thoughts of the Holy Ghost here for a moment. He's talking with you. Who is the Holy Ghost? Where is the Holy Ghost? What is the Holy Ghost? Is the Holy Ghost something that is seen? We talk about the Spirit of God coming in like a rushing mighty wind. So then we could say, well, I don't see no wind. I don't feel no wind. My hair's not moving on my head. A cloven tongue of fire. I don't see no cloven tongue of fire. Where's this Holy Ghost? And many times we diminish or depreciate things down, and the Holy Ghost is some altar experience in church or you're speaking in tongues and we've taken this is the Holy Ghost. And churches and theologians and teachers are teaching, well, this is what the infilling of the Holy Ghost is, speaking in tongues. How could we weaken something to such a state? Not mocking the gifts of God, not mocking speaking in tongues by no means. As Apostle Paul said, he said, I speak in tongues more than any of you. I don't know if I could say that here to you all, but I do know that I speak in tongues and pray in tongues when I'm by myself and driving in my car or whatever. But the thing is, brethren, it's not something, we're not going to just say, well, that's what the infilling of the Holy Ghost is. That's just one of the fruits, one of the things that are in it, that you're praying without an intellectual understanding. You're praying in such a way. You're praying in utterances and things, that aren't understand you, but it builds up, the Bible says, your innermost being or that innermost man. There's benefits of this. So yes, I'm not against speaking in tongues, but it's so far greater and so far beyond a heavenly language or a heavenly tongue. It's power. You see, it was the Holy Ghost that he was filled with that stood before the enemy. And Satan says, you know what? You can tempt me with this whole world and promise to give me this whole thing. And he rebuked him. He said, get you behind me, Satan. It was the authority and the power, the love of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is an active spirit life in you. It's your everything. You can't separate from it. You don't desire to separate from it. You don't want to step away from it. Don't step aside of it. You don't want to quench it. You don't want to not yield to it. When you see people that continually resist the Spirit of God and quench the Spirit of God, they can't have the Holy Ghost. They don't have the Holy Ghost. People say, well, how do I know if I have the Holy Ghost? Well, I don't say because you speak in tongues. But you know what? There's too many tongue-talking devils that don't have the Holy Ghost. When you got the Holy Ghost, it's the spirit of life. It's the spirit of love. It's the spirit of power. Spirit of holiness. It is the greatest thing ever. There's nothing comparable to it in this world or any world ever. There's nothing. It moves in you. It speaks in you. It draws you. It tugs you. It pushes you. It's so active in every moment of your life when you learn to yield to it. But just as Jesus was tempted there by another mind, by another spirit, by the devil. You see, that devil is an active force in your life. And he's going to be there speaking and talking to you daily. He's going to tell you that, no, you're not God's elect. No, you're not of God. No, you're nothing but of the devil. You know, you're on your way to hell. He's going to sit there and torment you. Why? Because he's a destroyer and a killer. And if he could put those kind of thoughts in your head and you believe them, you understand? But then at the same time as he's trying to destroy one that way, he'll be destroying another one saying, you the man. Boy, it's you. There ain't another like you. I tell you what, boy, you're so much better than the rest of them. So much smarter, so much greater. You see, that's the devil. You mean he can work on both sides of the spectrum? Yeah, he's a master of deception. You know, if the devil always came as this evil force with claws and fangs hanging out and blood dripping from him, you know, he'd be real easy to discern, wouldn't he? You know, you should have enough understanding when you find that thing saying to you, well, you're not God's elect. Who's the accuser of the brethren? It's the devil. Well, you're on your way to hell. You should recognize that's the mind of Satan right off the bat. But then yet, if you don't understand it also in the other perspectives, where he's going to come and tell you how great you are, well, you're the chosen one. And when you let that go to your head. I've seen it destroy many young people. I could name some names to y'all today of ministers that you know that have failed. Ones that are struggling and stumbling. And they've had these things put in their head. Well, it was prophesied over you and a man of God laid hands. And man, when you was born, there was a vision and went forth. And this, that, and they take that to their head. And it destroys them. And they're trying to fulfill something of a prophecy. You say, well, that's what Jesus done to fulfill the word of God. He came in and know these things had to be because it was written. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. What's got to go forth is the word. I've watched it hurt, destroy, and kill many over the years. They get this thing in their mind, puffed up, we say. I use a term that they're elevated, way up there, in a lofty place. That's a bad place to be. The only thing that you need to be lifted up to, brothers and sisters, is the cross. And that draws all men unto the Lord. When you lift yourself up to the cross of Calvary to see that you no longer live, it's no longer your ideology, no longer your mind, no longer your will, no longer your desires. When your ministry or your life is everything about what you want and what you desire. I watch ministers. You know, we say often the scripture about a man running, beating at the air. And it's always the other guy. It's always the other preacher. It's always the other evangelist. Whenever I would apply that to myself. But I've been guilty of that. When I did a pastor's seminar over in Africa, I presented a question. I said, are you a spirit-led pastor or are you a congregation-led pastor? Most people couldn't tell the difference. Because many congregations are spiritual enough to know what the fruit or the attributes of a pastor are. So what they say is like, you know, this guy, you know, he doesn't have a chance to be before the Lord and find out the mind or the will of God. But, you know, Deacon such and such just got off the phone with Sister Busybody and you got to go to the hospital and pray for the reprobate that's down there. You know, people, you know, that pastor, boy, if he was right with God, that's where he'd be. But then yet, I know many pastors that are in the hospitals every day and ain't nowhere right with God or even know God. But it's just a hireling. Hey, this is what we do. We're supposed to be in hospitals praying for people. I'm not against that. Not whatsoever at all. I'm not against going to the prisons. Not against that at all. But you know, one thing that we need to be doing is led by the Spirit of God wherever you find yourself at. Just because a door opens up, I've had numerous ministers say this. I've heard it out of the confessional mouth. If a door opens up, they go through it. Boy, that's about as carnal-minded and as ignorant of a devil I've ever heard speak. Every time a door opens up, I go through. It's got to be the Lord. I've told many men, I said, Satan will open up 5 doors, and that's not an exaggeration. It's probably 50 to everyone the Lord's going to open up. Well, I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to be preaching. So if I'm preaching, I'm in the will of God. Now, the Spirit of the Lord and the will of God might be telling you to shut your mouth, and he don't even bring his word to them. Well, sometimes it's as powerful not to speak as it is to speak. Jesus was silent. Sometimes you think that you're going to take and defend yourself through the scriptures. You're not called in defense of yourself. You're called in defense of the word. And while you're so busy defending yourself, you're trampling on the word to do it. Because you're showing this expression of self-preservation. That's not Christianity. Did Jesus have self-preservation? Did he? It didn't appear to be, did it? Well, I'm not going to say that. They might stone me. He said it. They went to stone him. Did Paul have self-preservation? Well, I think it says in the scripture he was stoned, what, 5 times, left for dead? Or maybe he was beaten 39 stripes 5 times. I don't know, but there was a lot of things that took place in his life, put out at sea. How many of you have traded water overnight and all day long and all night long for the name of the Lord's sake? I tell you, a lot of things to consider. You don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. Talking about receiving the power of God, the power of life. Who are you, brothers and sisters? I don't want to put you in a place, but if I said, how many of you are the Word of God here? And I'd say, raise your hands. Are you the Word of God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word is God. Are you the Word of God? How many, if I ask you, are you an epistle written and read and known of all men? Is an epistle a word? Could the epistle that you are, when it's speaking that, could that be the Word of God? You most definitely it is. If you say that you're bone of his bone and flesh of the flesh of the Word, then what are you? If you are one of a many-membered body with the Word, then what are you? You see, there's things that people, they draw back from it. As a sister asked me last week, she said, you said that you were God. Standing there from the thing, I said, well, that wasn't me as a man that said that. That was the Spirit of God speaking through me. I'm not God. But then yet you'll hear me say that I'm one with him. And then you'll even hear me say that I am God. I am a Savior. And you say, man, Brother Rob, that's blaspheming. No, it's blaspheming to you because you don't know the Word. If you knew the Word, you'd know who I am. If you were one with the Word, you would know that I'm the Word. If you were one with God, you would know that I'm one with God. If you were who you think you are, then you would know who I am. And you would know that I have eternal life in me and through me, and the words that I speak are all power and authority, and it was given unto me when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, all power and all authority. You see, what kind of power did you have? What kind of power did you get? The power to remit sin. The power to take up serpents. The power to tread scorpions under my feet. You see, we'll say, Brother Rob, you see, you've taken a message and you brought it all about you. No, I'm saying that you would be saying that if you had the message, if you were the Word. You see, when you sit there and look at me and say, well, this can't be, you're just saying that you are not it. Now, I'm going to read what he said to me again. You don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. And if I sit here and say, I'm the Word, I am the resurrection, I am the eternal one, I'm a son of God. Amen. Now, I got scriptures for all these things. The Bible said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. Well, I don't believe that. Well, that's because you're not. But if you knew I was a son of God, then you would know that you're a son of God. But if you can't believe that I'm a son of God, you are not a son of God. It's all in the power of what you see. And if you can't believe that I am the son of God, then you'll never be the son of God. And you say, I don't believe that. Well, you have to talk with him then. That's exactly what he spoke to me. The only reason you can't receive me for what I am is because you think too highly of yourself. You think that you're better. You think that you're greater. So you can't receive me that way. And it's your intellect mind saying that you're better because that you're drawing from the same beast realm and the beast mind that if you're better, then that means that you've arrived. But if Jesus condescended to men of a less estate and his purpose was to bring life to them and for him to bring life to them, he brought death to himself. Is this right? So now the thing is now you say, I'm a son of God. Now, are you bringing death by not esteeming me better than you are? Or am I bringing death to me because I'm not bringing you greater than I am? See, this is the attributes of the Holy Ghost-filled life. You esteem others greater than yourself. You do good to them that despitefully use you. But when you are completely lifting yourself to some lofty place by looking down on everybody else and looking for their failures, their troubles, their weaknesses, and all those things, then you've climbed up another way. You have absolutely went up another way, and you will be tossed down. You have to esteem others greater. You love your brethren. You love them with problems and complications and work with them and help them. Maybe their complication is because you haven't received them the way they should be received. Maybe their problems they're having is because you have crucified them and rejected them. Are you a son of God because of your actions and your works? Or are you a son of God because he made you that way before the world ever was? Were you truly leaping for joy before the world ever was? When was your beginning? Do you have a beginning? They wanted to kill Jesus because they said, you say you was before Abraham. And then I stand here and say that I was before that. And you'd say, man, you're wacko. But you have to learn to differentiate between the Brother Rob and the Brother Son. Something we have to learn to do, brother. to know who you are. You will not receive the fullness of this Godhead bodily. You will not receive this until you could see it in others. If you don't see it in others, then you're blind. And if you can't see it in them, that means that you don't have the hope in you. Because you know who you are, even though you try to veil it and try to make yourself so much greater. But are you worthy to receive all the blessings of God? And if you come to the revelations that I'm not worthy, I'm the least, and it's by His mercy and by His grace, then how come you can't have the same mercy and grace if you say you're one with Him and you're the Word? If you're the Word, you're going to have the same mercy and grace. But if you don't have no mercy and grace, then you can't say you're the Word. And you say, well, Brother Rob, you know, there's an understanding here. And I say, yeah, yeah, and amen. You know, if I reprove somebody or rebuke somebody, am I doing it thinking I'm better than them? It's not me doing it. Amen. A man told me, he said, if you ever do that to me again, he said, I'll never come back in this church. And I said, well, if you want me to tell you I'll never do that again, I said, I'm not going to tell you that because it wasn't me that done it. I was subjected and submitted to the Lord. And it's no longer me speaking, but it's Christ speaking through me. And the reproof came to the man because it was the love of God. And he reproves them openly because that's the manifestation of love. So I had to explain it wasn't me. Do you realize that we can quench those kind of spirits? Now, if I quench the reproof, then what am I? If the exhortation of God is coming forth from me and I quench that and don't do it, then what am I? Let's go over to Matthew for just a moment. I'm going to read a couple scriptures to you, and if the Lord will help me put them together, I won't try to keep you too long here. Matthew 8:16. It says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with what? With his word. And he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now let me ask you a question here. How did he take dominion and authority here? It was with the word. Who's the word? Who did he give all power to and all authority? See, many times we don't see the manifestation or the vindication, I might say, of some of the attributes of a Christ-like life is because we don't know who we are. Sometimes we don't know who we are because we don't know, again, who they are. And because we don't allow them to be the Word with all authority and power, then we can't walk in the Word with all authority and power. But if we would realize that it has all been given unto us, the power to retain or to remit sin, the power and authority to cast out devils. You understand that? And we realize that what we are, because we're one with the Word, we are the Word, we are the sons of God, correct? Amen. We just got one believer now in here? Are we the sons of God? Beloved, now you are the sons of God. The world doesn't see of what you already are, but when He appears, you'll appear with Him. You see, these are things that we need to know and realize. Well, you can say, well, I've heard you preach it, and yeah, you know, it's a nice saying, this and that. No, I'm speaking the Word. Why are you speaking the Word? Because I am the Word. And the Word is all power and all authority. The Word is life. The Word is eternal. You see, the Word is predestined, and we're in the Word. Jesus is the Word. Predestination is in Jesus. He's the Word. We're in the Word. Are you in the Word? Amen. If you're not in the Word, you're not predestined. Well, that means I got to memorize my Bible? That's not all what I'm saying. The Bible, the collection of books, is nothing. It's paper. It's ink. It's nothing. But it's the spirit of the Word. Amen. The collection of the books and ink is, it's carnal. You understand that? You say, come on, Brother Rob. It's death. The letter of the law is death. You just read this thing outside of the mind of the Spirit and of the Word, it's death. But if you would receive life, the Spirit of the Word, and receive the Word, it's the seed that remaineth in you. What is the seed? Where does the seed come from? It's the Word. This is why we got to be in agreement and alignment with the Word. And if we preach any other doctrine, we're none of His. Why would be none of His? Because the Word's not in you. But you're in the Word and the Word's within you. That's Bible. Let's look over at Luke. We're going to go to chapter 10 for a moment. Let's go down to about the 17th verse there. Let's go up to verse 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. Wow. You say, well, that's the Lord speaking. Think about it. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. Now I go back to the scripture that said they're sick and afflicted among you because they don't have discerned the body of the Lord. You despise me. Oh, man, Brother Rob, you're always bringing everything to yourself. I despise Brother Randy. I bring sickness to myself, and I despise God, or Brother Ed. Brother John here. Brother Bob. I bring affliction to myself. You see, we have all authority and all control, brethren. When we bring these problems to ourselves, it's because we're not walking in the Word. And if we're not walking in the Word, that means that we're not in the Word, and the Word's not in us. And the problem is we need to be born again. Amen. When you're born again, you receive the Word. Now, the devil's going to come. Now, did the devil come to Jesus here a minute ago? We just read him when he was up on the mount to be tempted. It said he was full of the Holy Ghost. He'd just been baptized, and he went off, and he'd been up there for 40 days fasting. Now, the devil's coming tempting him. Okay, so yes, praise God, you got the Holy Ghost. Is the devil going to tempt you? Yes, he is. He's going to come and offer you everything. He's going to say, man, you know, if you would just do this, you say, no, but I'm a servant of God. But if you would do this, and you would chase after this, and you'd go after this business or this education or go after this, and you say, but well, I'm going to serve the Lord thy God. I'm a child of God. I'm a servant of the Lord. See, people hear this message and they think you're against education. I don't like ignorant people. But I've met a lot of educated, ignorant people. I don't think you need a college degree to work. But then yet some of the way that our world's going, there's some of these things that you've got to have an understanding or a degree in to do the job. What about the guy that cut on you, Brother Rob, and put that screw in your neck? Are you thankfully had education? Yeah, I am. Well, what if he would have just been one of them guys that just went to church and prayed all the time? Could he have done it? Yes, he could have. Don't ever think I'll take the power of God away. God could give a man and enlighten a man's understanding and make him do anything. He could do all things. But yes, I'm not against education. I'm not against the medical field. I'm not against the college professors. I'm against the mind that we're speaking about here, that there's offering this other world and life through that mind. That's when it's wrong. But if you're following the mind of Christ and whatever you have desired to be requires education, the Lord will allow you. But you're not going to get sucked into that education mind or world to achieve it. Brother Morris could share with you about a brother who was in Brother Pike's work. They got an airplane. Well, I want to be an airplane mechanic. He goes off to school and went to hell. I'm sorry. You say, well, he's still alive. He didn't go to hell. He's in hell. His mind and everything, he's the brother's in hell. His mind is wrong and air and gross. Arrogant, lifted up, thinking too highly of himself. That's hell, brethren. But then yet that spirit, boy, it makes it boast. It makes it gloat, so to speak. This is it. When your education makes you think that you're better than somebody else, it ain't an education through the Spirit of God. We need to follow the leading of the Lord in the Spirit of God. It says, and he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. Can you see that, brethren? And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold. Now listen. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Has it been revealed to you? Have you seen it? Has it been unveiled? Do you comprehend? You see, the power to be forgiven of sins, you have to have your sins remitted and be forgiven of sin. And you say, man, that's in the power of the blood of Jesus. I say, yeah and amen, but it's also laying within the power of your thoughts, brothers and sisters, because if I don't forgive my brother that has trespassed against me, God can't forgive me. So where is the authority and the control and the power lay at? Amen. Well, it's all by the blood of the Lamb. But let me tell you something, the blood's applied through the foreknowledge of God before the world ever was because he saw this mind in you. Do you understand that? He saw in the foreknowledge of you receiving this and not rejecting it. And that's why in the foreknowledge of God. You say, well, Jesus was crucified before the world ever was. That's right. But there had to come to a manifestation. So you got to bring the manifested mind of Christ forth to be partakers of the glory of God, that you could be numbered with the predestined. Otherwise, you don't have it. Go to Matthew 9. I'm trying to give you a little foundation to establish some of these things on. The sixth verse. It says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of palsy, Arise, take up the bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." You say, but he was the Son of God. Hey, you're coming to Revelation. Are you a son of God?
Amen.
Are you a man? Okay, but you're a son of God. Where did the power come to? You see, we have got to realize this. Well, it's in his name. Whose name? Whose name are you speaking of when the power is in his name? You say, in the Son. Jesus. And I say, but whose name is that? That's the Father's name. And then he said he sent the Holy Ghost in that same name. Where's the Holy Ghost at, brethren? The Holy Ghost is here. It's the Spirit of God in the earth today. The Bible says the same Spirit that dwelled in Christ Jesus dwells in you in your mortal body. So if you number yourself as a mortal man, you've got this eternal quickening Spirit in you, the hope of all glory, the revelation of the Lord, the revealing of Christ, and it's in you. So the Holy Ghost is in you. What is the Holy Ghost? The Spirit of God. It's the Word, the Spirit of the Word. It's life. It's eternal life. You say, eternal life. Yes, I have eternal life. I can't die. Why? Because I'm eternal life. I can't die. See, you don't understand what death is. There's people that are truly dead among us, and some are twice dead, and you think dead is when they put somebody in a box. You see, we're always differentiating. I understand that, but we've got to come into the mind of God, the mind of Christ, and realize. And you esteem somebody because of their great brilliance or because of this and that. You esteem them because of the Word. And you limit them in the Word. You don't allow the Word to come forth in them. So we've read in the Scriptures, we find that Satan has power. We read in the Scriptures and find out there's power of the Holy Ghost. We find out who we are in Him. What power has been given unto us. And the thing is that we got to realize that Jesus came to give his life that others could have life. And then if you believe that you're the Son of God, that you have been condescended from heaven to men of an earthly estate to bring forth life to them. You see, you want to receive the attributes, or you want to receive the benefits, I should say, or you want to be a benefactor or an heir of God. But you want to be a benefactor and heir of God, and you want to number yourself with salvation and a Savior, but then yet you've got to bring forth the attributes of that. Now, if Jesus walked, and it was the Word made flesh and walked among men, and then I say the Holy Ghost is living in me, knowing that I'm flesh, born and shapen in iniquity, light being veiled within the darkness. So I have this light of the world living and dwelling within me. And this light is going to take and eradicate the darkness of my will, my mind, my ways, and do away with the darkness, and it's no longer me that lives, but it's Him. Faith. Faith brings the invisible things into a substance. You think substance is touch, feel? Okay, so here's by faith. Without faith, you cannot please God nor know God, and it's numbered you as sin. But by faith, you're bringing this invisible thing alive. You're bringing the invisible, unseen things into a manifestation. So here's the attributes of God standing before you. Amen. Here's the actions of the Heavenly Father. What do you mean, Brother Rob? It means that He died that I could live. If I turned over to Galatians, the second chapter, I'll try to quote it, but I believe it's the 20th verse. You can put it up there. I'm crucified with Christ. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. It's no longer I that live, but it's Him that lives. Why is it Him that lives? Because I no longer live. I died with Him. Now He lives. Okay, if it's no longer me living and it's Him living, then who is it? It's God. It's the Word. It's the Lord. It's salvation. It's the Eternal One. It's the I Am. You say, you know, Brother Rob, I just don't think you could be that. I died. It's not me. But then yet I'm seeing the things that I'm saying, I have to see that in you. And if I can't see that in you, I can't have it in me. Because if I see it in you, I see it through the mind of Christ, through the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ, esteeming you greater than myself and laying my life down for you to have life and life more abundantly. And He gave me life because of that. Do you understand that? We're givers of life. We esteem others greater. When you see a man that always esteeming himself better and greater than another person, he don't have it. He cannot have it. He'll never have it. When you think you're superior to another, think of all the what they call ethnic cleansing, they call it, going on in third world countries. Even Germany, when Hitler came to power. Ethnic cleansing is going to kill all these Jews out. I'm so much superior than them. You see, in the racism, you know, one race thinks it's more superior than another race. That's not Christ. The Lord Jesus, we white folks want to make him light-skinned and light-colored hair and blue-eyed and things like that, hang pictures and stuff like that. I've been in black folks' home, they got a black Jesus and this and that. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, he was a Jew, dark-headed. He wasn't fair-skinned. And he came and died for a fair-skinned guy. You see, we infiltrate this spiritual world through carnal concepts of hate and bitterness and racism and all these things, and we take and we want to fabricate it in to being spiritual or to being what we are and thinking we're better or greater. Anytime you think you're better or greater than anybody else, you just simply ain't got the Spirit of God. I'm sorry. He laid his life down for some wretched, no good folks. Well, how do you know that, Brother Rob? Because I'm one of them. Well, you really wasn't all that bad of a guy. At all my very best, brothers and sisters, is filthy rags. At my best, very best righteous. I don't have salvation because of me. I have salvation because of him. He came and laid down his life for me in my wretched, no good state that I could have life. Now, how do I know that I received the life that he had? Because I do the same thing. The Bible said we're about the Father's business. So if he came to do this and I don't come to this, then I don't have him. So I say that I'm one with the Word. The Word's in me and I'm in the Word. All right, let's just read chapter 14 here. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's the Lord Jesus speaking. Now that's Brother Rob speaking. There's power in this. I'm telling you, you just got to, you know, you're saying this whole thing for you could make people, you know, think that you're somebody special, brother. No, I'm talking about you. If I can't see Brother Ed as the Word of God, then I can't have it myself. Do you realize that? If I can't see the Word in you, then I've never seen it. If I can't love man that I do see, you understand that? You go and read the scriptures about hating man. What's the curse for that? And say, how can you say you love God when you can't love man that you do see? You can't love God. So if I can't love you and esteem you greater than myself, I don't have God. I mean, God himself loved you so much in your wretched state of eternal damnation and your perversion and your filth and loved you so much that he laid his life down for you. Then why couldn't I do that? Because I didn't have the Word. But if I do that, it's because I have the Word and am the Word. And the Word's in me and I'm within the Word. Let's go on. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. Well, see, I'm the Word. Where am I at? In heaven. You're the Word. Are you in heaven? Amen. Brethren, yes, I'm speaking this because I'm speaking by faith. But I'm speaking this that you need to be speaking this. I'm not up here trying to make you esteem me to be greater. I'm esteeming you greater than me, and this is why I'm bringing the Word to you, because I love you. And I'm bringing you the revelation of this Word, that you could realize this Word, that you could be one with this Word. If you can't love me, you can't be one with the Word. And you say, well, you don't haven't earned my love. Did you earn the love of God in your wretched perversion? And you're down in the mire, down in the dung when he pulled you out? Did you earn anything? It's by grace. It says, and whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Now see, the Bible says that no man has ever seen the Father. But now we get something you'd say, this is contradiction. No, it's not. This is why we have to learn to differentiate the Word. The Father's invisible. But the Father became flesh. The Spirit became flesh and walked among men, the Word. Now the Word that became flesh was the Holy Spirit that came within Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. And when the Word made flesh, took the flesh to the cross to be crucified as a sacrifice for you to have life, the Spirit of life came forth out of that Word flesh, and that same spirit of the Word that was manifested in the Word flesh, when the Word flesh was killed, that same spirit of eternal life, which was the Holy Spirit, had now been recognized, the attributes manifested among men that could be seen now come forth as the Ghost. The Holy Ghost, one in the same spirit. Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, all one and the same. These three are one. So now the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that manifested, now come forth as the Holy Ghost and came into the many-membered body, which is you and I. And it's no different. This is what I'm trying to say. It's no different. The same Spirit that was in Jesus that brought life to us all is still here. He's never left nor forsaken this world or the people of this world. He's here now. He is the I Am. He's forever present, and He's here. Okay? We came in His name. He's here. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of life. And if you could recognize the Spirit of life, then you could receive life. If you could recognize the Spirit of healing, you could receive healing. If you could recognize the Spirit of power, you could receive power. But you're sick and forsaken because you don't know how to discern the body of the Lord. You know, you think, well, you know, then you go back to Jesus, but they rejected Jesus. His own. He said, I received these nail prints in my hand in the house of my friends. His friends rejected Him. His friends said, you know, who do you think you are to speak like this? You're blaspheming. And people will sit and hear me speak like, say, man, you're blaspheming. You're thinking too highly of yourself. No, I've esteemed you greater than me. And this is why I'm bringing this word to you. It's for you. Same struggle. I have the same struggles that Jesus had. Could you believe for a moment that I'm doing greater things? Amen. Oh, my. Now we'd have to start all over again. Let's go to verse 7. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Let me tell you, that scripture is going to manifest. There's going to be people being cast into hell. And the Lord says, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. And he'll have Brother Rob standing there. Have Brother George standing there. Brother Branham standing there. Some of these other pastors and different ones will be standing there. And say, man, I sent the word among you. And you heard not. He came and showed you the way, but you received not. He came and you rejected him, just like they rejected Jesus. It's the same to every generation, brothers. You've had the word before you. You are the word when you're full of the word. When you've received the Holy Ghost, you are the word going forth to your life, your salvation. Why do we want to make God so mystical? Why do we want to make him so distant on some planet somewhere? Because we want to keep a fairy tale religion. For we can live our own way, our own mind, and our own thoughts. But it's very simple. The revelation of the Lord is not a complicated thing. You've made it complicated with some intellect type mind that you're just going to make this thing, you want to make it so ungraspable and so out of grasp that you can feel justified in your carnality and your worldly lust and love for the world. It's simple. Just come to the revelation of who you are. Let Christ be revealed in you, the hope of glory. You know, well, I said under the message of the revelation of Jesus Christ, I am the message. I am the revelation. Amen. Do you see the difference? I said under it, and you say, no, I am it. Oh, I heard it. I am it. I listened to it expressed. I am the expression of it. I'm the expressed image of God. You say, oh, no. You can't say that, Brother Rob. Well, let me tell you, if I bring life to somebody and salvation, then what am I? I'm the Savior. How else are they going to get salvation? Why did He send us? Why did He send you? Why are you considered the light of the world? Who's the light? He's the light. And He sends you into the world, so you're the light. And if you don't bring light, then they perish in darkness. We just want to make God a fairy tale. Oh, He's just some God, you know, sitting up there on a big chair, got these little naked angels floating around with bow and arrows shooting things and all this stuff. What an ignorant image of heaven. You see, you have these wild concepts of heaven. If you would realize that you're in heaven already. Amen. Well, you take the hope away. No, I am the hope. Well, you're taking away, I'm hope, I'm destroying your foundation of ignorance, and you start realizing who you are and where you are and what you are. But see, you're having troubles realizing who you are because you don't realize who they are. And when you realize who they are, then you receive salvation from them because they are salvation, and then you're one with them. And when you become one with them, then you're one with the many-membered body. And when you become one with the many-membered body, then you are eternal. and you can't die. You pass from death unto life. You see, we take scriptures, you know, well, I know that I pass from death unto life because I love the brethren. Why do you love the brethren? Because you know that they're God. You know that they're salvation. You know that they are life. And if you hate him, the thing is you've cursed yourself. You're a murderer, the Bible says. You mean I'm a murderer because I hate the brethren? That's just what the Bible says. What is the Bible? It's Word. I'm talking about the Spirit of the Word. Amen? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Amen. Now, why can't you say that? If it's the same Spirit that was in Jesus now is in you, then everything that I'm speaking here, the glory goes to God.
Amen.
I'm heir with him. I'm bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You got to come to this revelation, brother.
Amen.
You say, I won't make the rapture. This is the rapture.
Right.
We are the rapture. We're always putting something out to the future. He's now. He's I am. Heaven's now. Eternal life is now. Power's now. Authority's now. What kind of mind is this? It's got all this stuff set off to some future thing. Yes, I know that this body will witness, and it already is the purchased possession. It already is redeemed. And I know that this body will go through the metamorphosis. But brethren, you better get a hold of the spirit quickening life of the things of the invisible realm. You've got to learn to see in the invisible. And if you don't see the things that I'm speaking about, it means you're blind. And if you're blind, then there's no Christ in you because he's not blind. So you got to get your eyes on, pray for a miracle that God open up your eyes and grant sight to you. This is revelation. We've made the revelation of the Lord Jesus so, we've made it so mystical and so out of grasp and out of range. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So here he's telling you that you're going to do greater things. The Lord Jesus is telling you that you're going to do greater things. Why? Because he went to the Father. Now, if he didn't go to the Father, could you do greater things? No. But he was accepted as a sacrifice. What was the sacrifice that he made? He gave up life that you could have life, and you receive life and partakers of this life, then you'll be doing the same things that he was doing, but even greater things now because the Holy Ghost was given, and it's a many-membered body, and Brother Morris is doing the same thing, and Brother Ed is doing the same thing, and we're about the Father's business. Greater things. There's many things that could be said there. That doesn't sum it up in a nutshell by no means. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. How is the Father glorified today in me? How is he glorified in you? We are the glory of God. He said, well, he never give his glory to another. We're not another. We're one with him. You understand that?
Yeah.
Brethren, this isn't complicated stuff. It's revelation. It has to have simply have your mind opened up by the Spirit of God and take the blinders and the shucks off your eyes. This is the revelation of the Lord. You have to see it. And when you know you see it, is because you esteem others greater than yourself.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus did. If you can't do that, you ain't got the goods. When you find strength in you because you're better than somebody, smarter than somebody, you ain't got the goods. You're feeding something, a lofty thing that'll destroy you. That's not why we seek after understanding or education to make us better. It's to help others. That's the whole purpose. That's what Jesus came for, to help others, to minister to others. And you take this kind of revelation and the things that I'm saying here, and you go out and put your chest out to people and say, man, I'm a son of God, this and that. You're nothing more than the devil. You don't take this revelation to make you better than somebody. You don't take this revelation to lord over somebody or to lord over God's heritage. You don't do that. You know, when a man takes this thing, I'm the man, shut up, woman, you're the wife, you're the weaker vessel, shut your mouth and listen to me. That man ain't nothing but the devil. Jesus doesn't deal with you that way. He loves you and compels you. He's merciful to you and kind as the bride. You see, but this is what happens is when you take this message to some kind of an arrogance, boy, that you're somebody special, this and that. No, you are come to lay your life down and esteem them better and greater and seek after their will and seek after their finances. That's Christianity. That's revelation. Okay, I'm going to go on here just a moment. Verse 13, it says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So if you can't receive this, this is the Spirit of truth that I'm bringing to you. And whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. What do you mean it seeth him not? Jesus said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I am the Father in one. I say, how can you say you have not seen him when I've been here preaching to you day in and day out and preaching and teaching and loving you? How can you say when you went to work with the brother yesterday and you was on the job, how can you say you have not seen him? Amen. Come on, there was all kinds around Jesus that were screaming, calling him a wine bibber, a Beelzebub, a devil, telling him all these different kind of things. That's exalting yourself, making yourself better. And you're judging things that way and you'll be cast out. And you think that you're religious and think you got something, but you've climbed up another way. This is the only way that you'll get there, is by being one in him. And when you're one in him, you're esteeming others greater. Then you become one. Amen. Verse 17. Let me read on here. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. And shall be in you. So you know the truth because he's in you. And if it's no longer you speaking and it's him, then who's speaking? Who's manifesting? Again, back to Galatians 2nd chapter. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. So he's gone now. The world don't see him, but you see him. Where do you see him at? Come on, where do you see him at? Do you see him over here in Brother Dell and Brother Chuck and Brother Bob, Brother Morse? Do you see him within the sisters in the life of Christ? Brethren, this is where we see him at. If you don't see him, you're blind. And if you reject them, you rejected him. If you reject them, you bring damnation to yourself. If you hate them, you're a murderer. This is the word of God. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me because I live. And you live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now you separate me now from him. Can anything separate me from the love of God? Can peril? Can sword? Can any devil? Can anything? According to the word, nothing can. Why? Because I'm in him, and he's in me. You separate me, you separated yourself from him. I'm in him, he's in me. I'm one with him, I'm the word, I'm life, I'm salvation. You separate yourself from me, you separate yourself from life. You realize that? You see, I'm bringing it to myself for your revelation, for your understanding, but I got to say the same thing about you. You say, well, I've known you breaking fellowship with people, never with the Son of God, to bring them to reproof, that they can be a son of God, that they can remove the enemy. Brother Pike was ministering in a message yesterday. He said, don't touch nobody, don't mess with nobody if the pastor separates from them. He said, you'll bring the curse that they have on you. I hope some of you hear that. Because I've separated with people and you continue to fellowship them, you bring their judgments on you. Two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. We've heard that many times. I'm one with Jesus. He's in me and I'm in him. Well, what measure are you? Well, if you want to start talking about measures, are you a greater measure than me? What does that mean? That means you'll lay down at my feet if you're a greater measure than me, and you'll love me and help me to come to your measure. You're not going to use your greater measure to walk on me and use me for some stepping stone to make you better. You see, the more you got, the more you give. The more you got, the more you're accountable. The more you have, the more you'll help others. The more you have, the greater you'll esteem others. You got to fall in love with people and help people. Let me finish reading here just a little bit. Verse 20 again says, and that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Verse 21, he hath my commandments and keepeth them. He that loveth me, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. That's wonderful, isn't it? Amen. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? I want you to take this as a closing thought. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Neither have heard now how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you if you loved me. You would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of the world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Let me back up just a second. Verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, brethren, the thing is the things that I said this morning, if you do not receive them, it numbers you with right here. Who doesn't see it? The world cannot receive it. There's a mind of the world and there's a mind of God. By no means, if you leave this service this morning and you think that Brother Rob was up here boasting and making people think that he's somebody or this and that, you've missed the revelation of everything that I said. I esteemed you greater and I'm the least of y'all. But I'm speaking about the true eternal Spirit of God that lives within you and I, the hope of glory. And you have to learn to esteem that brother, that sister greater than yourself, because that is what you do unto the Lord, what you do unto him. What you've done unto the least of these, the Bible says, what you've done unto the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto me. So the thing is that you have the authority and the control granted to you and given to you to control destiny and life. You have the authority and the power to remit and to retain sin. And it's all within the spoken word. And what is the word? You are the word when you receive the word. And it's no longer you speaking, but Christ speaking through him. When Peter made a statement to Ananias, he said, you lied against the word, the Holy Ghost. You lied against that spirit. And it was the word that slayed them. Do you understand that? That was the Holy Ghost, the power of the word. The word is in you. The word is in me. You are the word. You are the manifestation of the word. You say, I'm the body of Christ, the body of the word made flesh. You are the child of God. You are bone of his bone. This is Bible. The thing is, Paul said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman married, they become one in the flesh. Now we've just switched over to a total different concept now. One in the flesh. You see, this is the bride through the marriage. One in the flesh now. There's a difference of one in the flesh and one in the spirit. But you see, when Jesus married unto me, it's because he's made this weaker vessel, the woman, one with him in the flesh. So the manifestation of the Spirit, God, is manifesting now to the world in the flesh, God made flesh. Still the same, brethren. No difference. If you can't see that, then you don't see the works that he done. You don't believe the works that he's done. You don't believe that he reached down to the uttermost. You don't believe that he gave life and came and shed his blood to give life. And it's your unbelief that will separate you from this that I just said. So you've got to receive what I said, or you are of the world. And your father's the devil, according to the word. And you say, why do I have to receive what you said? Because I'm him. And he's in me and I'm in him. It's not me speaking, it's him speaking. It's the same spirit. If you could receive it through another, go find that other that you could receive what was just spoken through. But the only reason you couldn't receive it is because you're too puffed up in your own self, thinking you're better or greater than somebody else. Yeah, you can see my stumbling, my staggering, my failures. They thought they saw Jesus and called him a devil. He drank wine with them. They called him a drunkard, a wine bibber. You know, you see my problems. Does that make you better than me? Closing thought. Brother Pete was sharing with us. They went to a place. They were talking about getting a car or something painted, a motorhome. I don't know what it was. The guy said, well, I'm the painter, thus son. And talking to the shop manager. They said, well, what's this guy? And this guy done this big old hand motion, and he said, I'm the chief spotter. And he said he goes into the paint booth with the spray man, and he's looking around the car, and he'll go over and say, hey, here's a weak spot. Hey, here's one over here. So some of you are chief spotters, okay? You can find the flaws, but can you paint it? It's like I said, you put 300 people in the back of an airplane. And you're flying off over to your paradise or wherever you're going to or your mission trip. And the pilot comes in and, man, a little bit rough landing. Everybody looked, man, that was a terrible landing. Say, well, you get up there behind the wheel. You know, you can identify a bad landing, but can you do it? So you might identify my weaknesses and my failures or my brother's failures or whatever. Can you identify your own? Can you do better? Can you do better? Can you walk? The Indian says, you know, before you judge him, walk a mile in his shoes. I had a man come rebuke me one time, a brother that used to be in his church. He said, I don't appreciate this and what you're doing, this and that. And I said, well, brother, I've been doing this day in and day out. Have you done it at all? No. And I said, well, look, I want you to do thus, thus, and thus, and told him to go take on an act and do this particular thing. And I said, then come talk to me. Guess what? He came talk to me, apologized. I brought him in. I've loved him, helped him. You'll find fault with me, but I've tried. I brought him into my homes. I've been stolen and ripped off. They've taken my possessions and robbed me, cheated me, lied to me, robbed you and lied and stuff. You know, enter in. Be one with us. You sit back and judge what we do or think what we're not doing or what you think we should be doing when you need to just get in with us and help. Amen. Then you can be partakers. A man came to Brother Pike with the truth. And Brother George Lincoln said, you got no say-so in this. It didn't matter that he spoke the truth or not. He said, you got no say-so. You know, you could take a man, go over to another man and say, you know what, you need to be sharing finances in the church. And the preacher might say, you got no say-so in this to that man. Why doesn't he have no say-so? Because he don't share. He just finding fault with you for not doing it. But a man is giving and laboring to give, and he goes to a man and says, you know what, you got financial problems in your life because you're robbing God. That man has full right to speak. You say, we'll give you the right to preach this message this morning. Because the one that preached it is dwelling in me. He's in me. It's not me. It's him. I didn't preach one message this morning to lift me up and make me anything. I minister estimate him everything. And it's him in me. And I'm hoping that he's in you. And if he's in you, then you'll esteem me greater than you. Amen. And if he's in me, I'll esteem you greater than me. Let's stand together. Amen. I love you and appreciate you. Hope I said something to challenge you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Appreciate the word. I got fed this morning. Amen. I enjoyed the word. I received the word this morning. Yes. Can you receive it, Brother Rob? I'm trying. You could judge me as thinking highly of myself, but the word came to you this morning. And it came to me. I've got to receive it. I could minister a message up here and be absolutely accurate, right, and the truth, and not even walk in it myself and die and go to hell. What I preach this morning, if I can't receive it, it'll cost me eternal life. It'll cost me and I'll go to hell and burn forever. But you could receive it and have life. If I fail this, doesn't mean you fail it. And if I fail this, doesn't mean gives you a license to fail it. There's so many times preachers fall and it makes people feel like they're justified now. Well, I could live like a dog because the preacher lives like a dog. It don't work that way. There's a lot of preachers that live like dogs. That don't give you the right. Amen. There's a lot of people within abilities. A lot of times in Christianity, we look over and say, well, this brother, man, he's got this problem, this brother. That don't justify and make your problems any less. Just because I got 500 counterfeit dollars don't mean the cops are going to let you fly with your 10. Well, he's got $500 worth of counterfeit, man. Go get him. He's going to arrest you too. You got 10 bucks worth of counterfeit. So, you know, why do we analyze things the way? Stay with the word. Be one with the word. Amen. Let's sing a song or two. Receive the word this morning. Take heed to the things that you hear. Apply them in your heart and your mind. And let the Lord show you who you are in him. For you could help somebody. All right, Brother Ed. There'll be many carnal-minded people that profess Christianity that will absolutely mortify and crucify this message. But I tell you, thus saith the Lord, this was the word of God that went forth this morning. It isn't some doctrine of devils or some doctrine of man. This is absolute the word of God that was declared from heaven. Amen. Receive and be glad therein. Amen. You reject the word through your intellect capacities and your superior mind, you'll die and perish. It's the word. If you're tuned in and listening by the way of the internet and you have a dispute, I say write me a letter. Send it to me and I'll answer. Show me the Bible or things that are written and maybe I could help you to see it or you could help me. Amen. Either I'll become your teacher, you'll become mine. Just trust the Lord and pray. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.